everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live, presented by Xbox One. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. I'm Missy Matthews, joined by Bob Labriola and Craig Woofley. And guys, after the Eagles game, I know a lot of fans taking it seriously, but the players say we had a chance to talk to them, and they also had a chance to get back on the practice field, which is pretty much what everybody wanted to do. No more watching film, but getting to work and trying to correct some of those mistakes.
I don't know, Wolf. I was heading down to the Fort Duquesne Bridge myself. When Mark Sanchez leads two touchdown drives against your first defense.
You know, I'll take the same theory that I did when I was six. I was going to run away from home, but Mom said I couldn't go across the street. And I'll not jump off the bridge. I'm afraid of heights. So.
Good to see you. Well, let's take some look at some of the practice video today. Of course, Brett Kiesel, first practice in pads with the team since he returned. But also some good news on the injury front. Coach Tomlin spoke after practice and said that Devin Smith, Will Allen, and Lance Moore did return. They were dealing with some soft tissue injuries in the previous week. Bad news, though, on the injury front, guys who did not practice, Jason Worlds and Sean Spence. But Coach Tomlin seemed to think that those weren't really that big of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, the Sean Spence thing, based on what Mike Tomlin said after the game in Philadelphia, was that it's a PCL injury, and usually those don't even require surgery. Sometimes you don't even need a brace, right, Wolf?
Yeah, it's just letting it heal.
Yeah, and Jason Worlds, I don't think there's going to be surgery there either, because it hasn't been done yet. And I think that when you're dealing with a starting player, if he had some situation that would need to be repaired surgically, you want to do it as soon as possible to get the clock ticking on the rehab. So the fact that he has not yet had any procedures done on that knee, and we are now about 4 days after the game, I'm kind of feeling pretty optimistic about that as well.
And you also saw Cam Hayward in the video not practicing. He was kind of in sweats. He had that ankle injury, but he said on Saturday, I believe it was, not going to be a big deal.
Yeah, the thing to me, you know, we're a couple of days out here, the Steelers preseason finale, but the more important timetable is 12 days, which is where we are. Tomorrow will be 12 days away from the regular season opener against the Browns. That, to me, is really kind of the target. And so what we're looking at, instead of 2 days, is 12 days. And as you mentioned, Missy, I think that Cam Hayward, some of those other guys, should be fine by then.
All right, well, as I said, in case if you are still panicking and upset about Thursday's 31-21 loss in Philly, we know that. We're not going to let you go to the bridge by yourself tonight. But if this will reassure you, though, Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger said there's no need to panic. There was actually some positives on Thursday.
No, I thought we did some good things. You know, the first series was no huddle. We went down the field, had one little mistake there on that third down, but and then we really didn't get back into it. We just tried to specialize on a few things, so I wasn't real concerned about it.
Ben, why didn't you go more no huddle after that Tuesday? Is it you just didn't want to show?
Yeah, we chose not to. There was one of the drives specifically. Coach was in my ear, asked if we want go ahead and call it, and I waved him off. I said no, let's just it's at that point. I think it was 17 or worse, and it wasn't worth showing anything at that point. Let's just huddle up and work on things we need to work on from a huddle standpoint.
Guys, and Ben also said they kept it very basic in terms of packages and what they were showing, and he said that, Todd Haley did call for some more no huddle, and Ben said at this point, hey, we're losing 17-0, why show our cards?
Yeah, and I see some of that. I mean, and Ben's frame of reference always is the offense. One of the things I have a lot of respect for with regard to Ben, one of the things is that he's not one of those locker room guys who comments on other aspects of the team that he is not directly involved with. So Ben's never going to be talking about the Steelers' defense, how it did or how it didn't do. He was just referring to the offense. And I think that when you look at the Eagles game, there's more things to have liked from the offense than the defense. But, it just seemed to me that the Eagles were moving through the Steelers' defense like a hot knife through butter. And, that's what kind of had me looking at the railing there, Wolf, on that Fort Duquesne Bridge. I mean, the water's a little choppy, and there's a lot of stuff floating around down there in the river, but I don't know, swan.
Don't worry, I'll throw Missy down to you.
To save you, yeah. Right. But what, don't you think there was maybe, and Ben did say, a little bit of miscommunication, especially that one you could see between him and Justin Brown?
You know, there's no question about it. Look, this is still, I know you want to get out there and you want to do your best and you want to be able to put points up on the board. We've seen a nice progressive step between the first couple weeks. Then we saw the Giants, then we saw the Bills, and things were building nicely. That first drive, things start to go nice. Before you know it, you're down. There's no reason to start showing all these things and trying to win this game. What you want to do is you have to keep the perspective. I'm looking at people. I'm watching people, and I'm looking at certain matchups. I want to see how they respond, if they're getting the job done, or if they're not going to be the person that I thought they were. And that's what they're going to evaluate, and you got to stick with it. It's difficult in the middle of a storm, as competitive as all these guys are, to sit there and say, okay, let's just stick to what we got to get done so that we can evaluate these guys and evaluate our guys. Let's not get caught up in a, we got to score some points so it doesn't look so bad, or keep it close, what have you. It's all about still making evaluations on specific players and packages and plays.
Well, last week when Ben was asked, he said, yes, I want to play at least a half against the Eagles. I feel like that's necessary. Now this week he said, last year I didn't play at all. And he said, I anticipate that will be the same this year. And wasn't like, well, you know what, we didn't do as well as we wanted to on Thursday, so I want to get out there again. He was kind of okay with getting in a good week of practice.
Yeah, not that it matters, but I'm okay with it too. because again, I mean, I don't need to see anything else from Ben Roethlisberger. I don't really need to see a whole lot from the first offense, even, you know, the first offensive line. Now, I understand you may need them out there in order to evaluate some of the other people. Bruce Gradkowski, Landry Jones, I don't know if the first group would play that long. But, you know, those guys have shown enough, at least in my opinion, that I've seen that, you know, it's okay. The defense, though, you know, I don't know. The Steelers' defense against the run, to me, in the first preseason game and then in the third preseason game, the first one they committed a sin that they committed way too often last year, which was giving up a big play against the Giants. It was a 73-yard touchdown run by Rashad Jennings. Against the Eagles, I think the Eagles averaged 5.2 yards a carry and had 182 yards rushing. You know, those numbers, it's hard for me to sit here and defend those numbers on the surface. Now, maybe Wolf can help me, you know, get past some of them, and that's why I brought him here today to talk me off the ledge, but I don't know. Tell me I'm wrong, Wolf.
No, I think you do have legitimate concerns. The first team offense, let's start there. The one aspect I think of their game that they've really increased is they've picked up where they left off pass protection-wise. I like where they are at pass protection-wise. I think they've increased their skill at run blocking. We still have to see more of the outside zone. We want to get more of that because that whole bootleg series and screens that you can use off of that type of action is really something that's going to come into play this year if you can do it. Now, defensively speaking, it has been stopping the run. You know, we just have not seen the capability since Casey Hampton was the nose plug up in the middle there. And so that's something I want to see increase. These guys have got to be able to play more on the downhill level, coming up and crashing the gaps while maintaining their integrity and run fits as this moves like an amoeba from sideline to sideline. You've got to make sure that you got your assignments, you're filling the run gap. Having said all that, what we saw in Philadelphia was we saw a NASCAR unit. I mean, this is a snap the ball every 21 seconds. When you tried to put people in there, people came out barely hearing the call, trying to get set up, and the ball was snapped by the time a guy would run from the sidelines, get out there, take his position, and then the ball would literally be snapped. So I think there was a lot of confusion. I think some young people had some miscommunications. They got to work on it. They got to get the job done. There's no question. That's the one area that I think needs to really take it. Got to get out there and kickstart it a little bit against Carolina. But they're fully capable of doing it, and I think it's going to come along with a little bit of repetition.
One of the things I've noticed is that it seems to me that what teams do are doing to the Steelers is they will use their offensive personnel grouping to get the Steelers in their nickel, then they run the ball.
Sure, sure.
Can't stop the run out of the nickel. Doesn't look to me so far this preseason.
Well, that's been part of the problem, and part of the problem has been, do your front six now, because you're talking about the four guys up front, And then you're talking about the two inside linebackers. Are they able to get their run fits? We saw that a couple of years ago. It started in Oakland when Oakland had the big cutback off the nickel. And then it's manifested itself every time you take Big Boy off there with Casey Hampton. And now, you know, it's just been a concern all the way around. So until they get this corrected and be able to get something done run-stopping-wise from that nickel look, it's going to continue. Because believe you me, the one thing I know about defensive coordinators is or offensive coordinators, if they smell blood in the water, they are going after that until you fix it.
Well, and as you can imagine, yes, Ben said there were positives from the Eagles game. Defense, though, a totally different story. When we were talking to guys in the locker room on Saturday, they did not watch film yet with the coaches, and everyone was kind of dreading it. No one wanted to talk about it. They all kind of knew what they were in for. And today, Jarvis Jones did admit that it was probably one of the worst film sessions that he ever had with a coach, pointing out mistakes. But the good news is he said there are some lessons to be learned.
All of us got to be on the same page. We got to communicate a little better and execute. That's what it comes down to, communicating and executing. And that's what we got to continue to work on. We're a young group. We got to continue. Well, we're learning how to play with each other now, you know, throughout the preseason. And got a lot of different stuff going on, but I think we're doing well. I think we can be a really good defense, but we just got to continue to work at it and believe and have all the confidence in the world.
You know, one of the other things I thought we might have seen in that game against the Eagles, you know, the Steelers defense, a lot of the young guys had come off a fairly successful little stretch. It started in Latrobe at St. Vincent College when the Bills, the joint practices. And I thought especially on the Wednesday session, the defense kind of really stood up for itself and did a nice job. And then on Saturday in the game, Ryan Shazier had that spectacular debut. And there's a lot of young guys on that unit. And I don't know, maybe there was a little bit, hey, this is pretty easy. You know, we can do this. This isn't that hard at all. And, you know, it turns out that it's not as easy as it looks. And so I think that this happening in Philadelphia, if you're looking for a silver lining, it's good that it happened in the third preseason game because I don't know if a lot of those young guys, new people on the defense, really had an understanding for the degree of difficulty and the fact that, you know, handling Buffalo at home is not the same as going on the road on a short week and dealing with Chip Kelly's high-octane offense.
Think about it. I mean, you're talking about Ryan Shazier. He was in a zone that night, okay? Against Buffalo.
Right.
To quote the great Joe Green, no one lives in the zone. They reside in the zone. You visit the zone from time to time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it wasn't not much zoning in Lincoln Financial Field.
No, nobody was in a zone there. Well, they were all
Mark
wearing
Sanchez.
Opposite, yeah, they were all wearing opposite uniforms.
That was
uniform
frightening, too.
Yes.
Mark Sanchez. Two long touchdown drives.
Yes, it
I
was.
Mean, Nick Foles
you are
is,
correct, sir.
Nick Foles and LeSean McCoy are one thing. Mark Sanchez, that's when I started.
That's when you went to the bridge.
That's when I started.
And Wolf pulled you off.
Google Map. How do I get to the Fort Duquesne Bridge from Lincoln Financial
I got to keep you
field?
Closer to me on those road trips, buddy.
Well, Wolf, sticking with defense just quickly, we didn't have a chance to talk to you yet since the Steelers brought back Brett Kiesel back, but what do you think of that move?
You know, I am so in favor of this move. I mean, being able to bring Brett Kiesel back, he brings a certain dynamic that I think this defense has been losing. You know, when you lost the Potsy Farriers and the Footers and Casey Hampton and all those guys with all those football years, they're created somewhat of a vacuum in leadership because you needed some people still to be able to vocalize. You know, and when you got Ryan Clark on and everybody else, there's some people that, you know, have stepped out. Well, to step up, yeah, LT's a great player, but he's a quiet leader. You know, Troy Polamalu, I was busted on Troy today. I said, you know, you got a lot of people fooled. I mean, this whole Monk thing you got going for you. And everyone went, oh, no, Troy's mad. You know, at the game in Philly. I said, it's working pretty good for you. But the point is, you got Kiesel. This is a guy that can still run and play at an advanced age. And the fact is, remember last year, he had sacks in weeks 15, 16, fumble recovery, doing some stuff. Now, you bring him in. I was out there listening to Barbecue, the Young Bucks on the defense. That's worth worth the price of admission and the minimum pay alone, because he's got them hopping and jumping. And I heard him say to one guy, hey, I'm 36. No, I didn't go through camp, but I ain't that tired. You know, and I mean, you hear that coming from somebody like him, that makes you sit up. That makes you the double clutch, take a deeper breath. And if you're a young buck, you get out there and you bust your hump harder.
All right, we'll be interested to see how the Steelers do utilize him. But going back to Thursday's game, I'm not sure if you guys knew, but it was 3 hours and 10 minutes long. Did it feel that long?
Longer.
And I was sitting, he was standing.
Oh.
That's true.
I was getting dive bombed by these moths. They were huge. They were like mini woodpeckers.
So you couldn't wait till it was over.
Oh, couldn't wait.
Well, I won't blame it all on the penalties, but I'm pretty sure we can say that the penalties are just one reason why that game took a pretty long time, and the flow of it was kind of just distorted.
Flow,
there
right.
wasn't a flow. Yeah, that's pretty much the word I'm looking for. So we did a little research and looked up some of the numbers. Now, this is comparing last season to this season through the first 3 weeks of the preseason. So as you can see, a significant jump, a 34.8% increase per game. I mean,
yeah, and I
that's crazy.
Yes, and you know, it's strictly because of the fact that, you know, the Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl last year with a, you know, with physical play in the secondary. The reaction to that is always, oh no, let's not try and figure out a way to deal with the Seahawks physical play in the secondary. Let's change the rules. So now you have officials who are and they claim that the rules are not changed. It's just an emphasis on calling these kinds of penalties. The thing, Wolf, to me that makes no sense at all is if the play is on the outside of the numbers to the left and they're calling illegal contact on the outside of the numbers to the right, to me, that shouldn't happen. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with what's going on to the field. I understand that it is a strict violation of the rules. However, I'm here to say that if the people in New York at the NFL office believe that fans are going to sit through and watch games with 33 accepted penalties called, they are delusional. I mean, there is nothing more boring or frustrating than watching a game where every time a pass attempt is made and the ball hits the ground, everybody on the field is going like this, looking for the penalty flags. I mean, it's
a horrible thing that they're creating now. I will tell you that the next lawsuit on the horizon for the NFL will be the epidemic of referees who need Tommy John surgery from throwing so many flags, you know? I mean, it's ridiculous. And here's the thing about it, and I thought Mike Mitchell had something really cool to say about it. He said, it's the core essence is the dynamics of the push and pull. And what happens when you get facing the same direction, there is a push off by the wide receiver and a pull action. It's almost a neurological thing. I mean, it's reflexive. You just do that as you head in the same direction. And the problem becomes they see like a fight. They see the retaliation. They don't see the instigator. Well, the same thing happens in this. You have a push-off coming from the offensive player, and then you got the defensive player who reflexively will pull on the arm bar, the hip that bumps him off stride, the shoulder, anything like that, and now you got the flags going up. There is going to be a period of time. If they keep this up, you're going to see just zone coverages, and they're just going to hit the snot out of the guys underneath.
You can't do that anymore, though, even.
Well, yeah, now you can't hit high, so now you're going to have guys hitting low on short routes, and all we're talking about is knee surgery after knee surgery. And who wants to watch just little 7-yard ins, outs, and drags? I mean, you know, they keep compounding, and you hit it on the head. They're reacting to what happened in the Super Bowl rather than saying, hey, bravo, Seattle, you got a good secondary. Now how can we beat them?
Right.
That's the way to do
it. Yeah.
Well, as you can imagine, some of the players, especially after watching film, said it was very frustrating to see the number of flags, but at the same time, they know they have to adjust their game.
But it's nothing out of the ordinary. Like I said, we just sitting there, we're playing. If we're wrong, we're wrong. If we're right, we're right.
But there's a school of thought that they're calling a lot in the preseason.
No, it's like I said, it's still a football game at the end of the day. You can't worry about flags. Like I said, the game of football has flags all the time, so we're not going to moan and groan about it.
There wasn't as many pass interferences called in training camp, and we had the refs there. So I think really this third game was the most penalties that were called all preseason. You didn't really see too much of it the first two games. So for whatever reason, it happened in the third game. We just have to adjust our game accordingly.
And Mike Mitchell also said that, you know, they went through some classroom training with the refs while they were at training camp. He said they also told them offensive guys would be getting called for this. And he said, I'm not really seeing that.
Well, Mike Mitchell, what he said was, for some reason, there were more penalties called in the third game. I have your reason. His name is Ed Hockley. Every time, seriously, every time you have a game where he is the referee and his crew, you can expect a higher number of calls, penalty flags thrown than you're going to get from other crews. I really believe that there should be some sense of common sense. I know that's a drastic suggestion for the National Football League, but there should be some common sense injected into this where, you know, as I said earlier, if it's away from the play, don't throw the flag. If it didn't have anything to do with the outcome of the completion, the incompletion, the run, whatever it is, don't throw the flag. I mean, if you want to find a violation of the rule book in the NFL, you can find it on just about every play, Wolf, right? Because offensive linemen hold all the time, right?
No, we don't. No.
But if they did hold all the time, you could find a violation of the rules on every snap. I mean, it's. I understand it's a sport and it's competitive and jobs are lost and people get fired and families have to move and all that stuff. But the key is it's entertainment. And if you destroy the continuity of the game, then the sport just falls apart and nobody's going to watch. Nobody's going
to
watch.
Well, it is crazy to see the Steelers' first game against the Giants, 15 penalties, 18 against the Bills, then you jump up to 27 against the Eagles.
Accepted.
Right, accepted, yeah.
Right. So there were over 32
more
in that area flags called. I mean, and you're in a game where how many snaps were there? 100? A third of them are penalties. I mean, it's painful.
And then they come together and they converse. And every now and then they'd pick one up. But to me, the point is this. You got so many guys now looking over their shoulder. They're afraid to perform their techniques. I mean, right. You got guys out there literally trying to avoid contact in a situation where, you know, it used to be you could just lower the boom. So, to me, it's disturbing because I think you're really making a case for going to just zone coverages and just running short routes, and you've got to put the emphasis on the pass rush because you got to get to the passer in 2 seconds or less to be able to have anything to help your defensive backs. And, by the way, don't hit the quarterback high. Don't hit him low. Hit him in the middle, okay? Thank you.
Or not late.
Yeah, or not late.
Well, tomorrow at 4 p.m. will be the deadline for the Steelers to cut their roster down to 75. And, Labs, we did see a lot of teams already started that process. Are you surprised the Steelers are waiting till that hard deadline?
Yeah, a little bit, Missy. I mean, usually what you don't see are teams taking guys through a full practice, which is what the Steelers had today, and then cutting them tomorrow with no game in between. However, one of the things I was told was, you know, the Steelers had a couple of Missy, you detailed them early, some walking wounded, soft tissue kind of things. And there was some interest in, maintaining sufficient numbers at all of the positions to get through practices the rest of this week and then also the preseason game against the Carolina Panthers. So they have until 4 o'clock tomorrow. Looks like they're going to use every minute of it.
And, of course, we'll have a breakdown of that list tomorrow on the live show.
Absolutely.
All right. That is going to do it for us here today on Steelers.com Live. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m.